In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Just getting comfortable, getting better, you know, as a coach, just overall, getting closer with the guys and things like that. And, you know, obviously him having more swag, I'll say. Just with his, say it again.
What do you like about the
fade? Gotta start off with the fade first. Just his swag, defensive-wise, his energy and things like that, you can feel it. He's definitely getting comfortable, but the chemistry is just growing overall, and you can feel it in the room, so it's great.
That's Jaquan Brisker talking about his head coach, Matt Eberflus, and his swag. I'm Rami Makhlouf. I'm in for Bernstein and Holmes. I asked you during the break, and I did, going into the last break, say I was in for Boers and Bernstein.
Did you really?
I did. We got a texter who said, you're filling in for Boers and Bernstein? Terry's back? And I was like, did I? I don't know if I did. And you said you didn't think I did, but then...
I didn't, man.
Got a tweet, and snitches. Snitches alerting Chris Tannehill of the afternoon show.
Gosh. The mob rolls deep, man.
They tagged Tanny so he could pull the tape, I'm sure, and said Robbie is tweeting, just said he's in for B&B going into the break. My bad. Like, that's the show I grew up listening to. I'm sorry. That's burned into my memory.
And I finally made a list of somebody who thinks he sucks besides I do.
If Lawrence Holmes is listening, he knows I'd never disrespect. Lawrence is one of my favorite people in this business and one of the best at doing it. But like Boers and Bernstein was like that was the show when I was growing up and like dreaming of doing this. So it's just burned into the memory and Freudian slip. You know what I mean? It's I don't know, muscle memory, Freudian, call it what you want.
I don't think anyone's getting offended. It's a great show. It's a good part of the score here.
Man,
but, you know.
Great show. Great show. The Boers. If you don't know, go and educate yourself. I'm sure you can find clips of the old Boers and Bernstein show somewhere out there on the internets, maybe on the Odyssey app. I don't know, but I'm sure you can find it. Coming up later this hour, we will be talking some more Cubs and maybe what's not the most optimistic or brightest of realities for this Cubs team. That's coming up at about 1:20. And like I said, Chuck Swirsky is in from 2 to 6 for the Score afternoon show. But talking a lot of Bears here on the Bernstein and Holmes show leading up to week 1 against the Titans. And head coach Matt Eberflus just addressed the media officially for the first time in the 2024 season. We bring that to you now right here on 670 The Score.
So our prayers and condolences go out with the Nagel family. Katie Nagel passed away this morning. She's had health complications, and she was most recently George's assistant, and then before that, worked here for over 2 decades. So we want to recognize her for her, what a kind soul, beautiful woman, and just recognize her and her family, and our condolences go out to them as she makes her transition. Captains. We got captains voted on those last week. Really good group of guys. From Jalen Johnson to DJ, Caleb Williams, KB, the two backers and the two tight ends. So I know it's a larger group than we're used to, but we have a bigger group of leadership now that we've had these couple years here under our belt. And now we got this third year going, so I really feel strong about those guys. And they know the first rule of leadership is leading themselves and being the example we want to see in terms of work ethic, in terms of leadership, in terms of standing up when you have to speak. But mostly lead by your actions. you know, how we do things and the standards we hold each other to is so important. And our best players got to show that every single day, and they got to bring it. So those guys do that, and I'm excited about those guys being a big part of our leadership, not all our, all of the leadership, but big part of that. Labor Day practice today was good. We had some good work. Today's just about really getting back into it. I always like to be able to throw the ball around a little bit, do some individual, focus on some fundamentals there. And we, of course, we had the bonus week, so we had some time to get a head start on Tennessee. We did that last week a little bit with the Wednesday, Thursday practice, so we feel good where we are. Guys will have tomorrow off, get the bodies right. I got to have a real physical practice on Wednesday in pads. And Thursday we'll have a good physical practice on situations that are a little bit in shells, and then we'll work on to a fast Friday into that weekend. So feel good about that. But with that, open up to questions.
Caleb is a captain. Have you ever been part of a team that had a rookie captain before, and what?
Yeah, I haven't had that before. But again, I put it to a vote. I had it with offense and defense, and I had the guys rank those guys, and he came out really high. So and all those guys did. That's what's great about it. And we had other guys that had great votes too, just not enough to get into that captain's vote. But that's a really good sign that he's got leadership throughout the entire team.
Matt, can you give some insight on your off-season planning for opponents as far as how you divide that up? When do you guys get into the 12 teams or whatever, 13, 14 teams that you're going to face? Mm-hmm. And when you get the players, when did you get the players started on Titans?
Yeah, so that's always a great question, you know, in terms of the balance of that. We do it with, I don't even know, and the players knowing it at times, because we have a bunch of walkthroughs, and we'll feature an opponent during that walkthrough. We'll set up our schemes against those guys, you know, their fronts and their coverages, their particular favorite runs that they like to run, their play actions and screens and all the things that they do. You know, so you always want to work on the first opponents, typically. You know, we're playing the AFC, you know, early this year, and we don't typically play those every single year. So, and that being our first three games, we've certainly put some work on those guys. You know, and then you work on an opponent that might have a unique type of scheme during the course of training camp. And I think it's always great looking ahead like that. And again, a lot of times the players don't know we're doing it. You know, we just got to work our structures and our schemes against those guys. But, and then if you're, then you, of course, work in your division too. You're working in your division. Same thing. And we get that during training camp. We work on that exclusively against our division too.
Do your staff dedicate specific days or weeks going back maybe to the spring? Say, okay, this week we're working on San Francisco. This week we're working on Green Bay.
Yeah, we do. We spend a few days on each opponent, making sure we're getting it down. You know, the guys, it'll take the guys more time than that to be able to break those guys down in terms of their, you know, specific area. You know, like Simo obviously does our run game, and, you know, Dave Berganzi and Travis, you know, look at our defensive run, you know, run defense. So, yeah, we go way back into the spring, and we set that up.
Matt, this is your third year. Does it feel like a bit of a fresh start or a reset now that you guys have got the roster turned over, you got quarterback at this regime pick? Does it feel like a bit of a fresh start, almost a reset?
I would say that every year is different. You know, and next year at this time is going to be different than this year. You know, we'll have players that have more experience. We'll be, you know, have more different guys come in free agency. So I think every team's different. I think you got to really reset that once you get into February, March, you know, and then really get a feel for the guys, you know, into April. And then we really start that April 15 and then start working that, you know, bringing the team together at that point. And that's a process. We're very authentic about that. We're very intentional about that. And like I said, I can feel this team coming together faster, you know, just because of the maturity of it. And some of it's because of what you said, Herb. You know, we've been around each other for 3 years, and, you know, that certainly helps that part of it.
Yeah, I know you have with it's obviously been a long and eventful road from February to March to now. What is your own personal outlook and optimism and energy now going into a regular season test year? I would say it probably feels like a buildup for this.
Yeah, we're all excited. You know, I could tell the guys are excited. We had a team meeting this morning. You know, when I broke them down afterward, you can tell the guys are excited just about the competition. You know, we're excited to compete together in a football game. And we're excited, you know, full strength and be able to do that. And we're just excited about that opportunity we get this Sunday. Larry, what do you got? Cut off.
You obviously haven't been in the AFC South since 2021. And I think all four teams have changed coaches since then. But does your experience there help at all preparing to play those teams this year, especially early in the season?
It does. I got some, you know, I've obviously played some of those players that are on the other sideline, but that certainly helps. So I'm familiar with that. But again, they've changed, and that's why we did some extra work on those guys. You know, there's all new coaches, and so it's adjusted and changed from that standpoint.
Matt, will you still do the honorary captains each week?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I may. I haven't really. I mean, I've thought about it already, but I don't know if I'm going to do that or not. So right now we got 8 captains, and I think they're a solid group.
For Caleb, what's the balance that you hope he strikes in being, you know, wearing the C, being a leader, but also knowing that there's going to be growing pains probably for a rookie trying to figure out how to strike that balance himself? What do you hope to impart on him about that process?
Yeah, just be yourself. You know, just be yourself. Be authentic and, you know, let it come to you, which he's done. You know, he's worked his tail off. He's preparing. You know, he's got great passion, you know, in the practice and in the games. And that'll all come to him naturally.
Coach, if you look at the big picture for your time here, if you go back to when you were interviewing for this job and you're talking with Ryan and he's laying out his blueprint of how you guys are going to go from what you inherited to where you hope that you are now, what did you think of that path, knowing that it was going to be really difficult at first, that you specifically might accumulate a lot of losses on your record?
Yeah, I mean, this is a team game, right? So you say all that, but I would say that we knew what it was going to be, how difficult it was going to be. Laid out the plan in terms of what it was going to take and laying the foundation of our standards and how we operate as a football team and how to bring those guys together. And that's an important part. And we've always been together, you know, even though the wins weren't stacked up early on. We've always played together. We've always played the right way. So add talent year 3, then, you know, we should see a good product on the field now.
What about specifically coaching a defense? You take some pride in defense. That's been your expertise for all this time. Knowing going into it, you were going to have such a stripped down roster that continued to lose pieces even as you went.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have a roster that you coach, and you coach those guys to the best of your ability, and you keep coaching them. And that's what we do. And then look at the tape. What can you improve and move to the next week? That's all I know how to do. And that's what I'm going to do this year, too.
Yeah, with regard to the excitement that you feel like at the beginning, you know, every team is excited this time of year, no matter if they're going to go 4-13, whatever. Is there anything about the excitement you sense on this team that is different than the normal season or your previous 2 seasons? That is, you know, is there anything different about that?
I would say the competition that we've had.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
To this point, during training camp, you can feel that's real, going against each other and our players, offensive players going against defensive players, that competition is real. And the guys did a really good job of competing and really sharpening each other during that time. And we're, like I said, we're excited about this competition coming up.
How much of it is any of it a sense that this team could take a real big leap this year as opposed to the previous 2 years? You have to be a playoff team, this, you know, you could win 11, 12, whatever games. Is that any part of it? Or is that just something that they don't even want, you don't even want to, you know, think about?
Yeah, I mean, there's excitement, but again, we're focused on this opponent. You know, the opponent that's in front of us, that's all we can do, right? So let's get the Sunday and compete in that game and then move on.
There's Matt Eberflus, Bears head coach, addressing the media for the first time this regular season as we sit here on day one of week one in the NFL ahead of the Bears and Titans this Sunday. I never played football beyond high school. I'll be completely upfront and transparent with you about my resume when it comes to playing the sport. But, and I know, you know, you want to keep the blinders on and we're focused on this opponent and this opponent only. But I know me and my buddies, when I was playing high school football, we'd sit around and go, oh, we could win this many games. We could achieve this. You know what I mean? And the better the team was, the better those possibilities were, the better the vibe was in the locker room and around the team. And the question previous to that, asking him, you know, what expectations are, what they could do this year, he was talking about that he was asked if there's been a different level of excitement and enthusiasm and optimism around this team than there has been in his previous years where they weren't expected to win that many games. And he said there is. It feels better, and the level of competition within camp has sort of brought out the best in everybody. But I think that part of the good vibes within Halas Hall, obviously those of us outside of Halas Hall can sit here and watch this team and the new quarterback and get real excited about it and predict wins and losses and feel good about a football team that we can feel good about for the first time in a few years. But I think part of the vibes, the good vibes within the building, in the halls of Halas Hall, is that guys on that team look at what's around them and look at the schedule in front of them and feel like they can actually win football games, can actually win a good amount of football games, and this season actually means something. And games in December, November and December actually mean something. Craig Counsell has talked a bunch about that when coming down the stretch here and sort of still hanging in that playoff race and what that carrot at the end of the stick can do for a baseball team as far as motivation and make his job as a manager a little bit easier. Different situation because we're at the start of the season, but these players, especially the ones who have been around here for the last 2 years, being able to look at this season as a season where they can actually do something absolutely boosts the morale and the confidence and the enthusiasm and the excitement around that team and around that building. Now it's on Matt Eberflus, who we hear a lot about his chemistry building and culture building, to sort of take that and run with it and show those guys that it's not some kind of unwarranted enthusiasm or optimism or excitement, but that he can put them out there and put them in position to succeed and win enough that stuff is real and that stuff comes to fruition and turns out to be true. That's up to him now. And I know we heard it was Jaquan Brisker. Do I have that right, Sean? Jaquan Brisker coming out of the break talking about Eberflus's swag, and there's been a lot of talk about his makeover with
his glow up, as the kids
the glow up, the riz up.
There it is.
Yeah, there we go. With the haircut and the beard trim and the new wardrobe and all that. And I get it, man. I get it. Like, look, Deion Sanders used to always say, look good, feel good, feel good, play good. You know what I mean? And I don't know if the same applies to coaches. I hope it does. I don't know. But bottom line is, and I've hammered this point, and I will continue to hammer this point, the dude needs to be a better head coach.
Yeah.
He's the biggest, most significant piece that's still left over from all this futility that we've seen the last couple of years. You made the upgrade at all the skill positions on offense. We've seen new faces getting added to the defense little by little. The quarterback, who everybody wanted to blame for their fourth quarter woes, he's gone. No more pointing a finger at number one and blaming him, unless it's Jalen Johnson. No more pointing a finger at number one and blaming him. The one guy who walked out onto that field every week and was a part of the nonsense that we saw here over the last 2 years is Matt Eberflus. And he's got to show that he's better than that from a coaching standpoint, that he's better than that and just never had the opportunity to show it. The dude's got to be a better football coach. And yeah. I believe in all those intangibles of his leadership, the communication, the building relationships, blah, blah, blah. And if the Riz Up helps him, great. But that dude needs to be a better football coach than what we've seen here the last 2 years. Bottom line, or he's not the guy. And we got a problem.
Yeah, we're going to let it play out.
But for how long is the question?
What's that?
How long is the question? That's what I, how long are we going to let it play out?
All right, good afternoon.
Because, dude, it terrifies me. It terrifies me, the thought, the prospect of going into year two with a new quarterback, and now he's got a new head coach and a new offensive system, because that sounds awfully familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't think you can think that way.
I'm trying not to. I'm really, really trying not to. I'm trying to keep things positive and optimistic here.
I haven't talked to anybody about any of those things. I feel the support.
You should. You got a lot of support. Yes. Agreed. We got to hit a quick break. On the other side, man, it's been real good for the Cubs lately. It's been real good for the Cubs lately. What if they're just as good in September, but it's not quite good enough? We'll discuss that right after this. Rami Makhlouf in for Bernstein and Holmes right here on 670 The Score.
Yeah. Really, really nice day today. Really nice.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
This winning streak that we're on now, that's, I would say, 60% of the production has come from, you know, the last three spots in the lineup. And that's what's happened. Now, the other guy's done their job, and Ian has, you know, banged the ball around the yard, hit some home runs, and same thing with Belly. But, you know, there's been a lot of production in games at that bottom of the lineup. And, you know, when you can flip the lineup over and have guys on base, and specifically Pete, well, the way he can run, and then you get him on base in front of some of the guys that are swinging pretty well, that's pretty potent.
That's Ron Coomer, color analyst for Chicago Cubs baseball, right here on Chicago's Sports Radio 670, The Score. And the Cubs in action tonight, back home to take on the Pirates, who they just swept. Pre-game coverage coming up at 6:05 with first pitch at 6:40 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. Chuck Swirsky will be in here at 2 o'clock handling afternoon show duties, taking you right up to Cubs baseball, and I will talk a little bit more Bears before I get out of the way and make way for Chuck Swirsky at 2 o'clock. But when it comes to those Cubs, you know by now, and I talked about it earlier in the show, August was amazing in terms of their record, going 18-8. They scored 99 runs in their last 10 games. They had their best month in terms of strikeout rate, their line drive rate, and ground ball rate, both improved in the month. 66 two-out RBIs. That's 18 more than they had in April and just 8 less than they had in May and June combined. Like this team really, really woke up in the month of August. And honestly, I look at the month of September and I go, that could be pretty damn good too. When you look at the schedule and who they have left in front of them, yes, they got the Dodgers, Phillies, and Yankees for 3 apiece. But they also have 3 with Colorado, 3 with Oakland, 3 with or 4 with Washington, 3 with Pittsburgh that start today, 3 with Cincinnati. That's 16 games. Wow, I just did math right there on the air, live on the air, math happening right into your ear holes, ladies and gentlemen. 16 games against bad baseball teams, and 9 left against pretty good baseball teams. So they could have another pretty good month in the same ballpark, no pun intended, or neighborhood as the 18-8 that they just had. But my question is, and you can get in 312-644-6767, might have time to read a couple texts before I get out of here. What if September is just as good? but not good. It's still not good enough. And you still don't catch the Mets, and you still don't catch the Braves, because that's a possibility. Looking at those teams, and I pointed this out earlier in the show, their schedules are tougher than the Cubs right now. Mets have seven with the Phillies, three with the Brewers, three with the Braves, and three with the Red Sox. And then the Braves themselves, they don't have any cakewalk either. They got four with the Dodgers, three with Kansas City, and three with the Mets. But that being said, those are two very good baseball teams right now, and two teams that have been winning at almost as high a clip as the Cubs were in August. When you compare these three teams in August and where the Cubs were at the start of August compared to where they are now on September 2nd, the Cubs, once again, went 18-8 in the month. The Mets were 15-13 in the month, and the Braves were 16-13 in the month. So quick math, and I'm not doing this live on the air. I did this before the show. Quick math, the Cubs gained 3.5 games on the Mets in August, which is a significant ground that you're making up. But still, you go 18-8 in a month, you're thinking maybe you pick up more than 3.5 games. And they did gain 4.5 on Atlanta in August, but they gained only 3 on that last wild card spot because, you know, standings move as the season goes on. The Braves were not the team that was holding that last wild card spot when the month of August started. The Diamondbacks were. The Braves actually had the first wild card spot when August started. But the Cubs were 6 games back of that last wild card spot, which the Diamondbacks, as I said, had at the time. And now they're only 3. So in a month where they went 18-8, they gained 3 games, in effect, on that last wild card spot. The team changed in terms of who was holding it, but they gained 3 games on that last wild card spot.
And I think they just gained them in like the last couple of days, too.
Yes, yes. It took a while before they could actually make up some ground because the Braves and the Mets were playing at that good a clip. They were winning at almost the same rate that the Cubs were in what was an extraordinary month. But that just says to me that if you gained 3 games or 3.5 games on the Mets in August and gained 3 games on the last wild card spot in August with an 18-8 month, you could have another 18-8 month and still be on the outside looking in, especially when you consider that the Braves and the Mets both have the tiebreaker over you. Should it end in some kind of tie?
For me, I'm looking at 89 wins. I think that's where the Cubs have to get to. So you're talking about winning another 18 games, and
that's a tall tour. That's a tall order. But
yeah, I mean, they did it this month. They can do it again. But you're hoping. I think that's the way you're going to have to shoot for. Because I don't know if 90 is possible. But that's where I'm looking at. Because that probably sets you away from the tiebreaker. Maybe get you ahead of some of these teams. But you're going to have to play some really, really good baseball still.
But let's say they do that. Let's say they do have another 18-win month.
Sure.
And they're on the outside looking in. Put yourself in the shoes of a Jed Hoyer. Because you last year you had a similar kind of experience. They collapsed at the end. Obviously, you hope that doesn't happen here. But they had a similar type of season where the first few months were not pretty. They put together a hot July and a hot August. And while I think Jed Hoyer, I'm sure, looked at options and possibilities as far as changing this roster, adding to this roster. We heard they were in the Shohei bidding early on. We heard they were in the Juan Soto bidding early on. Obviously, a guy like that, like either one of those two, dramatically changes the complexion and the outlook of a season before things even start. But outside of doing that, they mostly stood pat. There were other minor moves made, but they mostly stood pat. And I don't think that was just them throwing their hands up in the air and going, womp, womp, we can't sign the big free agents. Let's just see what we can do. No, I think they felt pretty good about that baseball team based on what they saw in the second half last year. And they thought, hey, if we can upgrade a manager, well, maybe that's a few extra wins. Maybe that's enough to put us over the hump and make last season or next season better than this season when they were looking back on 2023. Can you do the same thing? Can you do the same thing if you're Jed Hoyer and the Cubs and you saw what they did in the second half but it still falls short of a playoff berth somehow?
You know, that's the interesting thing. I think the one thing I keep going back to at the beginning of this season is Jed Hoyer talked a lot about how, like, Nico Horner, Justin Steele, those type of guys kind of had, like, maybe not a, like, natural trajectory in terms of, like, their development, but eventually came last year and showed they're major league players, they're guys that you can lean on. They thought more of those guys were going to be coming up. And I think you're seeing now, like, sure, like, Pico Armstrong's look great. Yeah, Michael Bush is coming along here. You know, Miguel Amaya's looks solid, but it's going to fluctuate. It's going to go up and down. I really think if you're the Cubs, you've got to look at trading some of those prospects, because I don't know if you're going to be able to acquire a Juan Soto via free agency. I don't know if you're going to be able to sign those guys. So I think you're going to have to look at a team like the Rangers, the Blue Jays, you know, look at those teams and say, you know, hey, are you looking to, you know, shed salary, take a downturn, and take advantage of that to really kind of supercharge your team? Because even if you're looking at this team and think they're the team that's played like they have in August, they've shown 2 years in a row now that consistency's been the issue.
Yeah, because there is something to be said about patterns and trends and tendencies. You know what I mean? And there are guys who their whole career, July and August are struggles, or May and June are struggles. You know what I mean?
Like, exactly.
There are ebbs and flows and waves and crashes in terms of the trends and patterns of individual players. And I think if you're the Cubs, if you do fall short again this year, maybe even if you make it, maybe even if you squeak into the playoffs, if you're Jed Hoyer and Craig Counsell, you got to be looking at this team and just going, do we have too many guys who start off slow? Do we have too many slow starters? And do we want to keep putting ourselves in this hole that we have to climb out of year over year?
Like, I know they're going to just barely, it sounds like, be over the luxury tax this year. Mm-hmm. And so, like, in terms of, like, how the thresholds work, it doesn't make sense to just barely go over. You should, if you're going to go over, you should spend more money. So it might make sense to go and acquire a big contract. Maybe you can go and do that. Maybe you are shedding salary to get down underneath it to go after it again. But, like, I think that is going to kind of tell us what direction this team is going. If they're going out and saying, like, you know, we're going to surpass that luxury tax, it means they're going to probably add a big contract.
I honestly, and we had who do we have on earlier that said this? Let me run through our no, it was we were talking Bears, and I was talking with the Tennessee guy that we had on, Chase McCabe. Yeah. And he was talking about the fact that, like, you can't completely change course with what you're doing based on what the end result ends up being. Like,
right.
you got to trust your process and everything that goes into it. And talking about with the Titans and the way they've conducted themselves over the last few years with this Cubs team, man, like, I just don't know that you can keep on doing the same thing over and over again and watching a team that falls below 500 by the end of May, and then you got to climb your way out of it. You know what I mean? Like, something's almost got to change. Maybe even if you do make the postseason, something's got to change in terms of the makeup of this team and of this roster and of that lineup.
Yeah, definitely. And we know the Cubs, you know, they invest a ton in analytics. There's definitely going to be some data that can probably help them support some of this stuff, and we'll see what they do there. But, like, yeah, I think if you look at this season and come out of it saying, like, hey, we got to find a way to make sure these guys are, you know, at least coming out of the gates hot, at least that's an easier way to deal with than trying to climb out of a hole in July.
You can text the show, 312-644-6767, if you want to get in on it. Somebody texted from the 630, like the math, if they get to 88 or 89 wins, at least they're entertaining me until the end of September. Even if they don't make the playoffs, beats the last 4 years by a long way. Yeah, this season, I think, especially with the way it started, you kind of got to be happy with the fact that, and I said this to Andy Martinez earlier in the year, I didn't think I'd have meaningful September baseball. Like, I thought by now I'd completely have turned the page to the Bears, quite frankly, the way that the season was going. So I got to be happy with this season. If they finish with 88 or 89 wins, yeah, you got to be happy with almost any season that ends with 89 wins. But that's not the ultimate goal. And if you're Jed Hoyer and looking at this thing and you have that ultimate goal in mind, something's got to change, man, with the way that these last two seasons have gone and the patterns and the trends that we've seen develop over the last two seasons. Something has got to change. We'll hit a quick break on the other side. Couple Bears notes, NFL notes to touch on, and a legend in his own right, Chuck Swirsky will jump in the studio for a little transition to the afternoon show. I'm Rami Makhlouf. I'm in for Bernstein and Holmes, and I'll be back right after this on 670 The Score.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Oh, man. Oh, man. People don't believe me when I say this. Rami Makhlouf in for Bernstein and Holmes here on 670 The Score. I own the NFL film soundtrack on CD. Yeah, on a compact disc. Remember those? I own that. That's somewhere in my house. That's how much I love this stuff, man. That's how much I love this football stuff. And speaking of football stuff, Jalen Johnson quote from our very own Mark Grody, who tweeted out at Grody Sports. I saw it during the break. Jalen Johnson, I'm done buying into the hype. Everything that we got in this locker room, it sounds good, it seems good, but at the end of the day, none of that matters. What matters is what we're going to do this weekend. Did you hear what I just said? This weekend, Bears football. Jalen Johnson is ready for it. Sean, do we have any helmets in the building so I can run into a damn wall right now? Do we have any helmets?
We'll go find one.
Go find me a helmet. I need to run into a wall. It's football season, man. It's day one, week one for the Bears and the NFL and the Caleb Williams era. Go run into a wall today. If you get hurt, it wasn't my fault. I'm saying this for entertainment purposes only, but go run into a wall today.
Rami, have you ever heard of Gus Frerotte?
I have, yes.
There you go. You're the Gus Frerotte of 670 The Score. And by the way, for our listeners who have never heard of Gus Frerotte and you think he's flipping burgers, he is a former NFL quarterback who actually hurt his neck after scoring a touchdown. Yeah. Took him right into the wall, intentionally, by the way.
Yeah, Ed butted a wall.
And then all of a sudden he felt this tingling down the spine and said, no, I don't think this is too good. Okay, just saying.
That's Chuck Swirsky. You know that voice. The legendary Chuck Swirsky is going to be taking over from 2 to 6 here on these airwaves. He's going to join me coming up in the next segment for some transition. He's just hanging out in studio. And that's a great analogy. Maybe don't run into it, especially if you're Caleb Williams. Maybe don't run into a wall and hurt yourself here on Labor Day. But
it's some good advice there.
Yeah, I'm fired up, man. I'm so fired up. I'm giving people terrible advice. But just a couple Bears and football things before we catch up with Chuck Swirsky, see what he's got coming up on the afternoon show today. We announced or we broke earlier the Bears captains were announced today. I thought this was the case when I saw it. It's one of those things that you see and you're kind of digesting and absorbing as the show goes on. He's the first rookie QB captain in Chicago Bears history. I wasn't sure if they had done that with Fields or with Trubisky, but that's from the BFR podcast page. He's the first ever rookie QB captain in Chicago Bears history. So that's pretty cool. And it was voted on by teammates, as you heard Matt Eberflus say in the previous segment, in the press conference that we played. One more quick thing before I bring Chuck in. Zach Jacobson from the Bleacher Report, is that 24/7 Sports is where he's at now. He tweeted this out. NFL security team advised Eagles and Packers to stay at the hotel during the Brazil trip and provided a list of do's and don'ts. Among them was do not walk outside with their phones in view and do not answer any, quote, weird texts. That last part is some good advice for anybody, whether you're in Sao Paulo, Brazil, or anywhere else for the season opener this week. Weird texts, you probably shouldn't be responding to those. But man, that seems like, and I hate it when people will try and paint a city in a certain way. People certainly do it with Chicago. I live in Milwaukee right now. People do it with that city as well, where they'll try and paint it as like unsafe, like it's like you're going to a war zone or something like that. We heard some buzz about Sao Paulo, Brazil, not being the safest place. And I was like, I don't know that I'm going to buy into that because often it's just, you know, propaganda.
My son actually lives there.
Lives there?
Yes, he does.
Really?
Yes, he does.
And how does he like
it? He teaches English.
Because this sounds like it's not, and I'm sure you would know, Chuck, given that he's your son and fatherly concern and everything else. It doesn't sound like it's the safe. I've never been to Sao Paulo. It doesn't sound like it's the safest place. According to these reports, though, is that...
Well, it's not about with him whether or not it's a safe place to live. It's about Brazilian women. Okay? To be honest with you, Are you safe, son? Dad, listen, I got to tell you. Okay, no, I don't want to know.
Yeah, you might run some risk. You might run some risk for some. I've seen some Brazilian women, and you might run that risk. That is Chuck Swirsky, who, like I said, will be taking over these airwaves from 2 until 6 p.m. And first of all, Chuck, an absolute honor and a pleasure to be here in these studios with you, sir. And I truly mean that. Thank you, Rami.
I appreciate that.
I saw the other day you tweeted out you hosted the first full-time
sports talk show
in the city of Chicago, and that was 40 years ago? Yeah,
I
have
that
right?
I was 12 years old.
Wow.
No, that was 45 years ago.
Wow. Yep. And that's, I mean, I've been listening to you for a long time, obviously the voice of the Bulls. I didn't know that you were the first sports talk radio host in this town. That is, could you imagine at that time when you started doing that there would be a Score and other outlets trying to do what the Score does, 24/7 sports talk in about one city and one fan base? Did you ever imagine that being a thing?
I'd like to say that I had a vision, but I didn't. And what's happened to the industry and the landscape of sports talk and the passion, especially in Chicago, which is without question the greatest sports city in the world, and for that matter, the greatest city in the world, even though we have challenges, all major cities have such.
Sure.
But when it comes to sports, absolutely nobody can touch us. Nobody. So I think it's great. And I think more importantly is the people who run the station. And Mitch Rosen was an intern of mine way back in the day.
Really?
And to see him develop and grow to become the czar in sports radio, that I knew that was going to happen without any question.
That's another fact I didn't know about. Yep. Mitch Rosen was your intern.
Yes, he was.
Wow.
And Ryan Baker, who does sports, news sports, Channel 2, was an intern. I mean, Randy Merkin, who is a fantastic producer, was an intern, all in the Chicago area. Chuck Freebie, who owns South Bend Sports, he was an intern.
When was the last time you hosted a sports talk? Like, you're going to do 4 hours today here on the show. When was the last time you did that?
About 3 weeks ago.
Oh, okay. So you've whatever rust there might have been, you've shaken that.
Yeah.
Off. Okay.
Yeah. And we're going to do post Bears starting a week from Sunday, actually Monday morning at midnight to 5 a.m. because everyone loves the Bears. I mean, I just went to Starbucks. Okay, Rami?
Yeah.
And there's a line, 5-6 people, they're talking Bears, okay? So we get there, and the person behind the counter recognizes me, even with a beard now, because I grew it
after the Bulls
lost to Miami. I said, why not? I'm going to grow a beard. So that's what happens when you, oh, we lost to Miami again? Where's the beard? So the person at the counter recognized me and said, Chalk Man, Bulls basketball just around the corner. What's going on with LaVine? Oh, man, you and Kobe, I love Kobe. I said, let's pump the brakes. Everything's fine. Just take one day at a time. You got Cubs baseball red hot, 20-8 since July 31st. You know, they're in a groove. White Sox are in a nice groove.
Yeah, people might try and put you in a box, being the voice of the Chicago Bulls right here, heard right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 Score. But you do it all, Chuck. We've talked all the sports in previous stints that you've joined me. And I know, I think it was the last time that you and I talked, the debate was still happening of Fields versus Williams and who should they take? Which way should they go? You and I were both Justin Fields guys.
Yes, I was.
Now, I've said since then, they've moved on.
They've moved on.
And I've moved on. I'm rooting for Justin Fields, but Caleb Williams is my quarterback. And it seems, Chuck, like it's only been the preseason, but every time Caleb Williams does something that opens eyes, I open up my Twitter timeline and I got people who want to rehash that debate. I don't know about you.
Well, no, I think that's no longer a debate.
Exactly.
But I'll say this as far as his teammates voting him captain.
Yes.
It shows, forget the X's and O's, and he's making unbelievable athletic plays. I'm talking about the locker room. I'm talking about how he deals with people, all individuals, with not only the players, the coaching staff, employees of the Chicago Bears, the fans. He gets it.
Yep.
This kid gets it. And I think it speaks volumes about his character and about his integrity. I mean, this guy has been through it all. He was on national commercials,
yep,
whether it was Wendy's, whether it was Dr. Pepper. I mean, you can go right down the list. This guy was a millionaire while playing quarterback at USC.
Yeah.
So when he's under the lights, he's coming to this market, and he has a pretty good feel what he was getting into, right? And certain players embrace it. Some cannot handle it. This kid can handle it.
Yeah, and he was a businessman before he ever set foot in the league. And Chuck, something I know you would recognize being around athletes as much as you are covering the Bulls and everything else you've done in your great career. There are just certain guys that it seems like no moment is too big for them.
Yeah, they've got the it factor.
No light is too bright for them. And it seemed that way with Caleb Williams going through all the pre-draft process, and it's only been preseason so far. But he certainly seems to have that trait, and I don't know that that's something that you can teach or coach into a guy, that nothing is too big for them. Nothing gets them, and he said, I never get nervous. Nothing ever makes them sort of wilt or get nervous under pressure.
Very similar to Mike Glennon.
Yes.
But no,
of course, Mike Glennon, yes.
Yeah, but,
I thought you were going to say Michael Jordan, but I heard Mike come out of your mouth.
I think Mike Glennon actually got paid, so good for him. I'll never begrudge a player for getting paid.
For sure.
The length of his neck was taller than me. I mean, really, I was thinking, whoa, okay. I mean, that neck was so, it was born October 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. And he just came out. Let's pull it out. But Caleb Williams, back to Caleb. Let me tell you what. I am so excited about Bears football. And I covered the 85 Bears. I did the pre-half and post. The most unique collective group of athletes I've ever been around. Ever.
Yeah.
And that includes whether I was here in Chicago, whether I was hanging out with the Fab Five when I was doing Michigan, or the Red Wings dynasty, Blackhawks dynasty, you name what you wanted. The 85 Bears captured the imagination, and they won.
Yep.
They actually won compared to the 69 lovable Cubs who lost, okay? I mean, like, I get it. There's 69 Cubs, and people are thinking, hey, we almost won. Well, there's a difference between almost winning and winning.
Right.
Okay? Are you here to win and compete, or are you here to capture a championship?
And I said today, Ryan Poles, the GM, he went to the podium and he's talking about Super Bowls and winning. Yes. And it's great to hear a GM step up.
Absolutely.
I'm a sucker for that stuff.
I love it.
I do too.
You know what? I love it because he backed it up. I think he has done a phenomenal job. And this is my prediction. Williams going to win Rookie of the Year. Book it. Bears are going to win 10 or 11 games. Book it. Eberflus, Poles are going to get extended. I mean, I can see this coming. And if you're not on the train, you better get on it now.
The unbridled optimism and enthusiasm of a Chuck Swirsky is something I try to get a little bit more of every day in my life, Chuck.
And
I mean that when I hear you on the airwaves, when I see you on Twitter.
And by the way, Mattis Buzelis, a steal at 11.
I was just going to say, we tweeted out, you know, Chuck Swirsky's coming up from 2 to 6, taking over the afternoon show on the Score today. And your buddy Mark Schanowski, who's going to be joining you today, he responded to that tweet and said, we're 4 weeks away from the start of Bulls
trade.
Yeah,
it's hard to believe.
It's this time of year where all that stuff sort of starts to sneak up on you. You know what I mean? Like, I'm so wrapped
in. Let's put it this way. The Bears are going to capture the imagination of everyone. They're going to dominate this market. The only way that there's a little bump in the road is if the Cubs make postseason and there's a legit shot they can. Even with Atlanta stumbling and the Mets are red hot, but I still think the Cubs, if you look at their schedule, they got, you know, the Yankees and Dodgers on the horizon, but the Dodgers starting rotation is a mess.
Yep.
Yankees are good, but I'm saying that the Bears, and so you're going to have the Bulls and the Blackhawks under the radar for, you know, a period of time, and that's going to give hopefully enough time for these two teams who are still trying to find themselves with numerous changes in the offseason, something that they can build on as they go forward into 25.
You're in for an absolute treat the next 4 hours. The man, the myth, the legend, Chuck Swirsky, taking over the afternoon show. My thanks to Matthew Collar, author of Football is a Numbers Game. Herb Howard covers the Bears for It's the Bigs. Chase McCabe, host of the Chase and Big Joe show down in Nashville. He talks some Bears and Titans with us. Andy Martinez of the Marquee Sports Network, and of course you for listening and contributing throughout the day, and Sean Sears on the other side of the glass, putting this whole thing together. And on the ones and twos, Chuck Swirsky is coming up next. I've been Rami Makhlouf in for Bernstein and Holmes on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score.
Onions, baby onions.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.